No risk it, no biscuit.
Coming from the Arizona desert, presented by SBNation.com. For Arizona Cardinals fans, by Arizona Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider's perspectives, this is Revenge of the Birds. Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans. This is Revenge of the Birds Radio. I'm your host, Jess Root, and we have a bit of a treat for you today, tonight, recording on a Tuesday night. Instead of our normal co-host, Seth Cox, who is out on some personal slash school slash work business, we actually have, instead of just holding off on no show until next week, where we're going to talk free agency and preview the Arizona Cardinals and moving forward with free agency, I have one of the newest members of the Arizona Cardinals on the line at a position that the Cardinals actually, you Cardinals fans will be interested in watching the position battles or what happens between now and the season because of the state of flux currently at the center position. So I've got on the line, recently signed to a future contract for 2016, center Valerian Ume Ezeoke. How are you doing tonight, Valerian?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm thrilled to have you on the show. Interesting is, you know, I got back from work one day and you know, I ended up seeing a message from you saying, hey, I see what you do and I'd love to have you, you know, love to have a write-up done. I said, absolutely. So how'd you run across the site for us over at Revenge of the Birds?
Well, I was trying to, you know, get to know the Arizona community, and I was on social media, and I was like, you know what, I want to, you know, be familiar who's around the entire organization, and I can't remember exactly, but I ran across you guys' site, and I was like, you know, I would like to get to know everybody. I'm that type of guy.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know a little of the background. The Cardinals fans here probably don't know much. You signed as an undrafted rookie with the Falcons, went through training camp with them, didn't stick, a four-year starter at New Mexico State. Tell us a little about yourself and what you bring to the Cardinals as a young player.
First of all, I want to, you know, thank the entire Arizona Cardinals organization for, you know, putting me back in the position to do what I love. Well, I went to New Mexico State University, four-year starter, started 40 straight games, played in 44 consecutive games. I'm very durable. I feel like I bring a lot to the table, and I could be a huge asset to the Arizona Cardinals football team. And, you know, I'm a pretty intellectual guy, like smart guy. I can break down defenses on the fly. I have pretty good leverage. I can run blocking is one of my expertise. I love to run block. If you look at the Pro Football Focus, I was one of the top centers last year. I only allowed, according to them, 3 QB disruptions. So I feel like I can play at this level and that I can be a huge asset to the team. And I'm just ready to go.
Well, we're thrilled that you're signed with the Cardinals. Now, the question I have for you right now is, why Arizona? What brought you to the team here? Was there a connection on the coaching staff? Was it the team that reached out to you? Your agent knowing the situation here? How did you land here this offseason?
Well, I was talking to them throughout the season, so I know they had interest in me. And finally, they actually called my agent, told them that they wanted to fly me out, you know, to sign me. And, you know, like I told you before, I went through some protocols and all that. And, I mean, it's a great organization. You know, it's a high-class organization. and I'm excited to be a part of them.
And so they've had contact with you throughout the year. One of those things that Cardinals kind of do is they look forward to the next season. Now, when you went undrafted last year and you signed with the Falcons pretty quickly, were the Cardinals in the mix at that time? Had they reached out to you during the pre-draft process, during the scouting, or even after the draft as a possible signing? Did they reach out to you then, or was that after the fact, after you had some tape in the preseason?
After the fact, they did not reach. I did not have contact with them during the NFL draft. I had a couple other teams, and I chose the Atlanta Falcons because I thought, me and my agent thought it would be, you know, a good place to go. So I did not until after the preseason with the Atlanta Falcons.
So tell us about the experience going through the draft. I was reading through some old, because I follow a ton of what the Cardinals do with the draft, but overall from top to bottom is, you know, unless you do this all the time, and I know some guys that know the prospects in and out. Your name was not one I had heard of, but going back to some of the scouting reports you had, some of the write ups about you. They had you as a, you know, early day three prospect all the way to priority free agent. What was the expectation that you had going into draft day? Did you think you might get drafted? Was it just a hope? What was that whole experience for you as draft day rolled around a year ago?
It was a great experience. I did hear from different teams that I was a late projection in the draft, so I was expecting to get drafted, but honestly just wanted a chance, you know, wanted a chance to, you know, go out there and make a name for myself, if that was getting drafted or if that was signing as an undrafted free agent. I wanted to make my name heard, and I got the chance. So, I mean, I was expecting to get drafted, but unfortunately I wasn't, but still I'm very grateful for receiving that chance.
And one of the interesting things, you know, with the draft, I'm sorry about that, and one of the interesting things of the draft is in some ways, if going undrafted, aside from the uphill battle that where the team, you know, it's invested a pick in you, and you know, there's some amount of guaranteed money that comes with that, is if you don't get drafted, you control to some extent your destiny a little bit more. If you're drafted, you're drafted to that team. And so you said you had a couple of teams. Was there much discussion leading into that? Did you kind of know heading into kind of towards the end of the last round that you knew where you wanted to land? Or did you have to give it a little bit of time to decide before signing with Atlanta?
Well, with the Cardinals, after I got released, before a draft day, the draft weekend, I had the most contact by the Atlanta Falcons. I was talking to them all the time. They were, you know, sending a lot of interest into me, and I felt like, you know, if that was possibly one of the teams I was probably gonna, you know, go to. And when literally they called me as soon as they said the last pick of the NFL draft, they called me and they said, "Hey, we would love to have you at the Atlanta Falcons." And I thought it was a no-brainer just because, you know, they showed a lot of interest during the time. And me and my agent made the decision that that would be the best place.
Good. So fast forward that a little bit, and you go into your first NFL camp. How overwhelming, how exciting, how fun, how difficult was that whole experience of that initial camp?
It was very exciting. I mean, you dreamt about it since you were a kid to, you know, play in the NFL, and, you know, to walk in there and, you know, get your physical done and all that. It was overwhelming at first because you're learning so many new things at such a fast pace, and I'm all about, you know, learning new things because I play the center position, and a lot was thrown at you, but over time it gets, you learn to break things down. You learn to categorize things and find ways to help you out. And, I mean, you can ask every NFL rookie that came into the NFL, it was a little, you know, a lot at first, but over time it gets a lot better, and that's how it was for me.
Now, did you have any starstruck moments with some of the guys they had there on their team? You got some big names out there in Julio Jones, Roddy White, who's been there forever, you know, Matt Ryan, who's been established in the league. Was there anybody that you saw that you were a bit starstruck when you first met him?
Starstruck? I mean, it was pretty cool seeing, you know, Julio and Matt Ryan and Roddy White. I mean, those guys are, you know, Atlanta Falcon legends, and it was cool seeing them for the first time. And over time, you know, you realize, you know, a lot of people ask me, hey, how was it, you know, seeing those type of guys? It's like, they're teammates, you know, like they're really good guys, no matter what, if you were a free agent or if you were the first pick, they're all of them always said hi, all of them always, you know, converse with you when, you know, when you're around. So it was a good, smooth transition. But, you know, for the first time, you know, seeing all those guys, you know, you watched them throughout your entire, you know, college career slash some of your high school career, it was pretty cool to see them for the first time.
And then tell me, obviously, you didn't quite make it stick. How did you spend, and how tough was that for you to not, you know, one of the things that, you know, you didn't make it quite through the final cuts, you didn't get picked up right away, and so you end up spending, how'd you spend the 2015 season? How that goes, because what a lot of people don't get to know is kind of the experience of guys like you who, you know, aren't quite right there, or there's guys who bounce, you know, they're in the league out the league, you know, 3 and 4 times a season. How do you manage the expectation, the hard work that goes in, and then is there a point where, I mean, obviously you haven't been at pro level very long, but does doubt start stepping in even in that first year?
I mean, when I got released, I honestly thought I was going to get picked up right back up, and I didn't. So, I mean, you wait by that, you know, you're always waiting by that phone, and a lot of people do not get the call back after being released. And all I just kept, I had great family support, my mom, my dad, my brothers, and, you know, they told me, you know, to stay focused. And I mean, every single day I'll go work out. I didn't feel sorry for myself, because I've had, you know, adversity throughout my life. So I try to handle it in the same way. I feel like, you know, if I did what I had to do, and just keep working out, you know, keep my faith strong, that something will happen. And I mean, I wake up every day, go work out, continue my craft, kept being the same person I was, and the Arizona Cardinals called me. And that just shows that, it, you know, if you believe in yourself, if you believe in your talent, if you believe that, you know, you're able to, you know, play at such a high level, things will always happen. And what a lot of people do, you know, sometimes do is doubt themselves, so they stop working. They stop working out. They're like, you know, what's the point? Because waiting by that phone sucks. I'm not going to lie to you. And, you know, some people never receive that call. So some people wait over a year or two waiting by the phone and never get that call. And I was fortunate enough to get that call. And that's why I feel like I'm going to be the best I can be once I get with the Arizona Cardinals. I'm excited. And also my agent, he was really good for me. His name is George Bass. He was really good for me. He, you know, he kept my head on right. He kept telling me, hey, things are going to work out, things are going to happen. And, you know, like I said, I had great family support. And from my brothers, to my sister, to my parents, they were all great. And that's what helped me bounce back.
So when you came out, so you got the call, you fly out here, you go through some protocol. obviously, I'm sure you met with did you meet with President Michael Bidwill? Did you get to meet with him? Was it with Steve Kim? Who'd you get to talk to within the organization?
Some of the scouts, I talked to Coach Goodwin. I didn't get to meet Coach Arians, not yet. But I talked to a lot of the scouts and also the offensive line coach. And so I'm still – and a strength and conditioning coach. So I still haven't had a chance to meet, like, the general manager, the president, and everyone in the executive branch, if you should say, and the head coach. And the coach, the head coach. And I'm excited to meet them because – what they did this year, the team, it was huge. And I feel like we're going to be back in that same situation next year. And I'm excited to, you know, contribute to that and be an asset to that.
Well, and you're in a position playing center. The Cardinals, the team is a little bit in flux right now. They've had a longtime starter in Lyle Sendlein. They let him go at last season but brought him back in camp. No, at least we don't know what the plans are with him. They got EQ Shipley, but they bring you in, and they bring in this other guy, Taylor Boggs. So what was Goody's message to you, other than the standard, hey, you're going to come in here and compete and see what you contribute? Did he have any particular message for you, considering the center position is a little bit up in the air moving forward?
Not really. The other guys there too, and he just said, "Hey, you guys ready to work?" And you know, I was like, "Yeah, you know, that's what I'm about. I'm just ready to get in there and get to work and be that person I know I can be." And I know at the end of the day, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be happy with the guy they got.
All right, so you look forward to you've got the center position. You play now. Is some interesting stuff that I saw. You check off a lot of boxes in terms. Now, the Cardinals like to bring in guys, super high character guys, and I know that I've read some things that you've gotten really high endorsements in terms of a leader. You were a team captain at New Mexico State, were you not?
Yes, sir.
Was that multiple years? Your senior year? Or?
Well, my senior year is when they actually. Because the years before, they'll just pick each game. But my senior year, they picked three solidified captains, and I was one of them. And actually, they call me the governor up there.
I did read about that. What gave you the name the governor there?
Just the way I operate, the way I carry myself. I feel like I'm a high-class guy. And, you know, the people around me, they see that too. And I'm as humble as they get. And one of my strength coach, he used to always say, you know, the show don't start till Ume gets here. So I was given that name, and you know, it's carried on with me.
So now I don't know if you've ever seen the makeup. The Cardinals bring in a whole bunch of players. In fact, probably three quarters of the guys they've drafted over the last 3 years have all been team captains. What's it like to bring in a bunch of young players who have been leaders in their own respective locker rooms coming out of college? But then how does that change? Obviously, you have to have a certain type of character to be a leader in the first place. But what is the change that you have to do from being the governor there that is, you know, New Mexico State, to then entering an Atlanta locker room or entering Arizona locker room this year and being, now, aside from being a teammate, you're definitely not in a position to be a leader yet. How much of a change is that for a young guy like you?
I mean, it's a smooth transition because, like I said, I'm a humble guy and I'm all about learning. And I know the vets, you know, they've been in the game for a long time, so I like to soak a lot of things in, but at the end of the day, I still hold myself at a high standard. So being a leader doesn't always have to be vocal. It can also be, you know, just the way you carry yourself, doing things right, doing things at 110% instead of 100, push it to 110, and always carry yourself like a high-class person. And I feel like it was a smooth transition, and I got to soak in a lot of knowledge when I was with the Atlanta Falcons, and I know I'm going to get to soak in knowledge when I get with the Arizona Cardinals until I'm at a point in my career to be that leader, to be that, you know, that person that people look at, and I want to end up being that person like I was at New Mexico State.
Looking, I saw an interview that you did for this one site that handles in particular smaller school prospects with Draft Diamonds, and you told them that, I've got to find it, that you also played some guard and defensive tackle. Was that was just in high school?
I played D tackle in high school, but I played guard in college too, my freshman year.
That's good. So, is there anywhere on the line? Are you able to kick out even outside, or is center guard? Is there any particular side at guard where you're more comfortable if you're not snapping?
I can play any three positions in the middle. And get this, I played tackle in high school, so if they would have kicked me out there, I could play tackle too.
So, have you, now one of these things is that I've read a couple of things, especially on the offensive line, that 300 pounds is kind of a magic number. Is there any concern? It shows that you're currently listed, what, at 295. Is weight an issue that you have, or is right where you're at? Are they okay, the team okay with that, where you are size-wise? And do you feel you need to bulk up, or that the size that you're out gets you, or allows you to be quicker and more explosive?
You know what? I have been seeing that weight. That was from, I think, my junior year in college when I weighed that much. I mean, at Pro Day, I was 305. When I was with the Atlanta Falcons, I was about 307. Right now, I'm at 308, and I've never felt better. And so I'm not 295. I'm actually 308 pounds right now. And I feel like I said, my body feels good, and I'm ready to go.
If you were to compare yourself to a type of player you'd like to be, or a guy that you model after, who is that in the NFL these days?
I'll say Jason Kelce, the center for the Philadelphia Eagles. The way he plays it just resembles the way, you know, I like to play. He's great in run. He's a good pass blocker. And especially in zone, he can make any type of reach, and I feel like my game resembles him. And I want to get to the point where I can be a Pro Bowl center. That's my mindset, that I can be a Pro Bowl center. That, you know, I'm looked upon as a guy for the Arizona Cardinals. And so I would say Jason Kelce for the Philadelphia Eagles.
So tell me this. Well, moving a little bit less on the less serious side, any good? What's one of the funniest things that you've seen on a football field or in a locker room on the lighter side of things?
Funniest thing. I'm trying to think. I mean. The funniest thing that just popped in my mind is just whenever, you know, the wide receivers and the wide receivers, the skilled guys, they love dancing, and those are the funniest moments. Just, you know, seeing guys, you know, just enjoy the time in the locker room and dance and have fun, and it's just a good, you know, a good atmosphere. So some of the funniest times is when I get out there sometime and, you know, throw a little some moves.
How do you grade your moves? Where do you think you compare to some of the guys? Because I hear there are a couple of pretty good dancers in that Cardinals locker room. One, if you haven't met him yet, Tony Jefferson, safety. I hear that he's got the moves of the locker room. Are you gonna get into the dance offs with some of the linemen? Or are you gonna try and get in with some of those guys that like to be in the middle of that?
I'll let them have it. I've retired. You know, they said I retired as one of the best, so I give myself an A+. But, you know, if they push me, I'm going to have to get out there and show them a little something.
All right. Anything in particular in terms of things that you do differently than other players in a locker room, or is there going to be what makes you, when Ume gets to the locker room in Arizona, what makes you different than the other guys around you?
I'll just say the way I am. Like I said, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of high class guys and a lot of guys, you know, they carry themselves well, but like I always feel like, you know, I'm just always gonna be only one to learn Ume's Jokic, and just, you know, my vibes and the energy I give off, and you know, like I said, I don't have a big ego. I'm more of a, you know, a humble guy that understands, you know, my standards, but is always down to learn. So gonna get a guy that's, you know, gonna come in and to work hard, not actually just saying it, but actually gonna do it. And yeah, so I'll say once they get to meet me, they'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Just the way I carry myself and my vibes and just everything about me is I'll say if you ask anybody, it's a great look.
In that locker room, you're going to be seeing some pretty big guys: Mike Iupati, Jared Valdez, and Calais Campbell, some giants of men. And you're going to get to go against, at least early on, if the depth chart comes out early, you're going to see big guys like Xavier Williams, Rodney Gunter, who kind of flashed, a small school guy from Delaware State. What's it like to have to now? What's the biggest guy you had to block in college?
Biggest guy. It was one guy. It was my freshman year. It was, I think, Kawan Gathers. He's about like 6'3", 360. And also, I actually played with him when I was with the Falcons, Rasheed Hageman. He's about 6'6", 320. And those are probably the two biggest guys I've been against in my collegiate/NFL career. And, you know, I held my own against both of them. So, you know, it doesn't matter how big they are, how strong they are, it's still football. You still got to get out there. You know you've been doing your whole life, so get out there. And I've seen the biggest of the biggest, and just believe in your talent and believe in yourself. And I don't really look at size, honestly, because you can see the smallest guy compete against the biggest guys and hold their own. And that's my mindset. No matter how big they are, no matter how strong they are, they still got to get through me, you know. And but yeah.
Well, good, because you're going to be facing also Calais Campbell. Every once in a while, he'll line up there right over the center, 6'8", 300 pounds, long, long arms. That if you get the chance to do that, if you can hold your own against him, then you know you got something. He's been the Pro Bowl the last couple of years. So we're excited to see what you can do. The center position is really intriguing. Fans are wanting to see someone kind of take over for as a future, as good as Lyle has been. A lot of guys want to see some youth, and the fact that you're in camp this year, along with this other kid, Boggs, and AQ Shipley, is going to be exciting, and I'm sure you're going to be on some people's radar. I can say thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything else you'd like Cardinals fans to know about you before we let you go?
I just want them, you know, to know they're getting a high-class guy that's going to contribute and be an asset to the team, and I do want to be the future for the Arizona Cardinals, and I just want them to know I'm not just saying that. I actually want to be that person, and I you know, I hope they're all behind me, and I can't wait, you know, to be a part of that Arizona Cardinals community. I can't wait to get to interact with the fans, and thank you, Jess, for having me on tonight.
Well, no problem. Cardinals fans, if you're following on Twitter, it's Vezzy55. That's at VEZZI55 to follow what Valerian's up to, to kind of follow his story as he enters, you know, year two or camp number two of the NFL dream. And I'm honored to be part of that, at least right now, to let you kind of get the fans to get to know you a little better. And man, I appreciate it. That make sure you guys pay attention to this kid. He'll be a guy to watch. This is another episode of Revenge of the Birds Radio. You can follow us on iTunes. You can follow us on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook. And of course, head over to RevengeOfTheBirds.com to where you can cover and you can follow all the great Cardinals content that we have on the web. Again, that's Valerian Ume Izioke, and I'm Jess Root, and we will talk to you next week with Seth Cox as we talk free agency. You've been listening to Revenge of the Birds. Keep the conversation going by visiting revengeofthebirds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Revenge of Birds. You can also find us on iTunes at facebook.com/Revenge of the Birds.